Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how we doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Jim. I think spring is here to stay, which means the golf clubs are also out to stay. Although I do need a new set. So if anybody wants to just buy me a random gift. How have you been?
Nothing like begging. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you brought up golfing because a week ago, I think it was off the air. You and I were chatting about golf. I was bragging because I had a tremendous round.
That's right.
You know, so I was bragging. I was feeling really good about myself. Do you know what the problem with that is, Dustin? The next time when you get out to play, reality just kind of smacks you in the head.
Yeah, I've had that happen before, too. There was I remember years ago I played my very first round in like it was the longest I had played or had gone without playing. And I got out there and I shot, I don't know, it wasn't a hard course, so I want to say it was like 84. It was one of the best scores I've ever carded. And I was like, I could go on tour. Practicing. I don't think I broke 90 the rest of the summer. It's just that fool's gold, and you probably don't have high expectations, you're extra relaxed, and then you just start thinking about, okay, can I improve on the whatever score I shot? You said you shot an 80, right?
Yes. Now, it's a course that it's not a tough course. It's not a long course. Plus, being age 66, I get to play from the gold tees, and it's a distinct advantage, and I took full advantage of it, Dustin, full advantage. So, yes, I played. I knew I played a bit over my head, but I'll take it. Like you, I got a little bit confident, though, maybe a little bit arrogant going into my next round. Got smacked around. And this is how bad I got smacked around, okay? Not only did I play poorly, I lost my 9-iron.
On purpose?
No, it wasn't like such a poor shot. I chucked it in the pond or something like that. No. It was actually, and it was the third hole of the round. I looked in my bag for my 9-iron, and it wasn't there. I looked, you know, my partner playing, looked in his bag, make sure. And I'm like, I don't think I even used it yet. The fact is, I think I lost it in that round that I played so well in.
Okay.
It's a week later. It's nowhere to be found. Go to the clubhouse. And do the, hey, did someone turn in this ping 9-iron? And he just turns, points at the wall. There's all our clubs that were turned in. And there's like a whole rack of them, okay? Made me feel a little better. I'm not the only idiot who loses a club somewhere. And I'm going through all of them. Apparently, whoever found my club decided they really needed a ping 9-iron. And they took my club. So
that's but now you have an excuse that you don't have a 9-iron. You just say, hey, if I had a 9-iron, that'd be on the green.
Well, yeah, that's not bad. But fortunately, I was able, it didn't kill me to not have it. But trust me, it was my own swing that killed me. And so there are sites where you could order. Clubs that you lost. Okay. You could even go like with pink to the serial number of your set and order a missing. Now the club though, that my irons are old irons. I got them fitted to me when I got them. It was a real good set of irons. I'm not the tallest guy in the world. So, you know, they were fitted to me. But I found another place that had used clubs where you could buy an individual club. I did that. It should be coming in here later this week. It's the same set. not fitted to me, but I don't, you know, a short iron, a nine iron, I don't think it matters as much, you know, that it's not fit for my 5'7" height. So we'll see how that works out. So anyway, you know what, Dustin, as much as I am just positive that every one of our listeners wants to hear more about my golf game and my lost golf club, why don't we shift gears and talk a little bit of college football? It is the off season, so it's the opportunity to talk about different things. When I see things like this, you know me, if I see someone put together a list of any type, mm-hmm. I think they're worthy of conversation. And I sent this on to you. It was the Big Ten odds for each team to make the playoffs. Now, you know, this is sort of kind of like those over-under totals on number of wins and who's the best team. But also, just like the win totals, this has got to take in, you know, a team's schedule, okay, as part of it. And, you know, you start out with the top teams are Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State. They are the three teams where if you bet, the odds are they are going to make the playoffs, more so than not make the playoffs. Let's start with that. You have any problem with the three teams, those three teams being, like I said, odds on to make the playoffs?
No, I don't think so. And I think when you look at their three schedules, knowing the talent that they have, I actually think the one that might be the most interesting is Ohio State. And I think that's solely because they have Texas in the non-conference portion of the schedule. The other two, Oregon and Indiana, have cupcakes through the first, through their non-conference portion of the schedule. So I don't think there's any, I don't have any issue with any of those three teams. They've been the three best teams in the Big Ten for back-to-back years now. And so I think that, I think it's perfectly reasonable to have those three at the top.
It is. Of the three, if you had to bet on one of them not making the playoffs, which team would that be?
Golly, Jim, why do you ask me such tough questions?
See, that's why I bring experts on the show. You're the expert. Your opinion matters. And you do realize that listeners are going to go racing out to FanDuel and DraftKings to make their bet, your life savings, based on what you say, Dustin.
I do know that. Yes, that's a lot of pressure. I think, I actually think, and this, I don't know if this is going to be unpopular or not, I think Ohio State is the team I would leave out of that. And this is going to sound crazy, but they play Texas in week two. They have to go on the road and play Iowa, which they've had issues with in the past. They have to go on the road and play Indiana. They have to go on the road and play USC. They have to – and then they host Oregon. And then, obviously, they won the game last year, but they've also had issues in the past with Michigan. And let's see what Kyle Whittingham can do with the Wolverines this season, right? So there are – I don't want to call them toss-up games because I think that's not accurate. But – and you look at the – like, they have a stretch where they play – at Iowa, at home against Maryland, at IU, bye week, at USC. That's three road games in a five-week span. So, and then again, close the season out with Michigan. After they play those three road games in 5 weeks, they then host Oregon. And again, the second week going to Texas. I think there's a legit possibility. Man, this is peak off season. Dustin doesn't know what he's talking about. if you were to look at me and say, I think Ohio State's going to go 9-3, I would say, okay, I can see that. I could see that happening.
Yes, I can too. Now here's my counter to it. Everything you say is legitimate. And I think it's why their over under number of wins is 9.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the odds makers there with number of wins also saying that, which, by the way, is exactly the same as Penn State. And I don't think there's anyone going into the season that legitimately thinks Penn State's as good a team as Ohio State. So it is really schedule based. Now, here's the thing. I would, well, let me put this in the form of a question, Dustin. Penn State goes 10-2 with their cupcake schedule, and let's say they lose the two games that I think are most likely, which would be they're at Michigan, they're home to USC, they're also on the road at Washington. So let's say they lose two of those games. They go 10-2. Ohio State, with their schedule, goes 9-3. Which team makes the playoffs?
Gosh, that is a great question. Here's the thing. If that scenario played out, okay, I'm going to factor in, I think Penn State would have a better argument. And the reason I say that is because if Ohio State loses to Texas, Ohio State would be in. Because I just look, but Ohio State, if they were to go 9-3, they would be on the cusp because they wouldn't have a ton of quality wins. This depends on what Michigan looks like, how good USC is. Because if they lose to Texas, Indiana, and Oregon, they would still have a win over USC, which is also on Penn State's. Penn State loses that game, that gives Ohio State an advantage. Ohio State doesn't play a Power Four team in the non-conference portion of the schedule. I guess they would both have wins over Michigan. Penn State would probably have a road win over Washington. Man, that's tough. I think Ohio State has more opportunities for quality wins, and that seems to be what the committee values. So I would go Ohio State, but I don't like either. I don't like that scenario, Jim.
Well, see, I wouldn't even hesitate. I say Ohio State goes to the playoffs, and they actually have five games where, in my scenario, they would go 2-3 in those five tough games. And those games are Michigan, Oregon, USC, Indiana, and Texas. And I'm not even counting on the road at Iowa.
Right.
If you want to count that one with three losses, that gives them either two or three quality wins. Meanwhile, I have Penn State losing to Michigan on the road and then either to Washington on the road or USC at home. And, you know, there's would be either zero or only one quality win by Penn State. So in that scenario, I think it goes to Ohio State. But I also have another reason why I think it will be the case. And I'll tell you about it right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. Dustin, in the first segment, other than my golf game, we talked about a post that came out about the odds for each Big Ten team to make the playoffs. And I asked you which team, the three teams that were odds on to make the playoffs, Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon. I asked you which of those three you thought would be most likely to not make the playoffs. You mentioned Ohio State, and that's based on their schedule. They've got a killer schedule. It includes Michigan, it includes Oregon, Indiana, USC, and Texas. Just using Texas, Oregon, Indiana, maybe Michigan, that could be four top 10 teams that they're playing. And when I asked you, you know, an Ohio State team that was 9-3, a Penn State team that was 10-2, which would make the playoffs? You hesitated through it. Ultimately, you said Ohio State would make it, Penn State not. I, without hesitation, would say Ohio State. I think the narrative now is, hey, Ohio State playing Texas in the out-of-conference schedule. You just got to give teams almost like a complete pass on losing an out-of-conference game against another big-time team. If not, these teams will never schedule. Plus, again, the narrative, and Greg Sankey really pushed this, the sanctity of the Southeast Conference schedules and how that needs to be respected. I think that's the narrative. And Penn State, with its terrible out-of-conference schedule and its terrible in-conference schedule, if there was ever an opportunity to say, here's a three-loss team getting in over a two-loss team, this would be it. Take Ohio State over Penn State. I have zero doubt in my mind, zero, that they would take Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you because you look at, like, it's got to be almost valued. They do this, and I don't like to compare basketball and football a lot because they're two completely different sports, but there is an understanding, like, if you schedule, you know, if Penn State were to go out and schedule Gonzaga, they lose that game, they're not going to be punished for losing that game because they're so well respected. On the other hand, you win that game and it gives you a boost, you know, in terms of your potential seeding, RPI, net, all that stuff. I think that they're going to start pushing for that same sort of philosophy here where, hey, we're going to give both Ohio State and Texas credit. They're playing 11 conference games. Now, if it comes down to a team that has the same record and they both played the same number of non-conference opponents Power Four opponents, then maybe there's a tiebreaker there. Who won the game, who lost the game, that sort of thing. But to me, yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like, you have to give some grace there. Assuming, now, if Ohio State gets beat by Texas 56-3, then that's a different topic. But assuming it's a close game like it was last year, to me, you have to build in some grace there and say, hey, we need this for our sport. We're not going to punish you for losing that game. So in that sense, because Ohio State could say, well, if we just scheduled Marshall instead of Texas, we would be in the playoff at 10-2 because we have, you know, a better win percentage, essentially. So I do agree with you on that you have to, if you're going to schedule tough games in non-conference, you should be rewarded for that, not penalized.
Exactly. And I think that's the obvious differentiator, and I think people saw that, and you could use that different. Where I think the people who do the rankings and these projections, what they've missed out on, and they're just coming to the realization of this, that you can no longer just say, oh, they're playing in the Southeast Conference. That was a tough schedule. They played in the Big Ten. Must be a tough schedule. You've got to also differentiate within the conference. Back when, you know, there's 10 teams in a conference, everyone would play basically the same schedule. No longer the case. Now, again, we've mentioned three teams. Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State are the three teams where the odds are they're going to make the playoffs this year. And I don't think anyone could really argue that. Penn State doesn't play any of the three. None of them. None of them, Dustin. Right. And, you know, if you're a Penn State fan just hoping that they make the playoffs this year, hey, you know, good for you, good for them. They have a very good shot at being 10-2, but no better than, you know, ACC or Big 12 team that goes 10-2.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what's going to be interesting, too, is their schedule. I mean, as bad as it looks on paper, could be potentially even worse. Like, I don't think there's any doubt that Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat. Luke Fickell, especially with Wisconsin, Chris McIntosh, their AD, moving on. Luke Fickell's seat is scorching hot going into this season. So, like, you could potentially see a scenario. USC schedule is right in front of me. I doubt that this would happen before, but let's say USC loses to Oregon and Washington, the two teams they play beforehand. Could you see a scenario where Lincoln Riley's out before they even play Penn State? I mean, coaches seem to get fired sooner and sooner in the schedule. So that could, you know, USC could be playing, they could have lost two straight and have lost all momentum. And in today's era, Jim, I do think that some of these kids, some of these schools, not all of them, some of them look at this and say, well, we've already got two losses. We're not in the playoff anymore.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. And I think it's that can very well be the case. Now, Penn State plays Michigan in Ann Arbor. That's the one game that we kind of all concede as the loss. What's interesting, and, you know, well, first of all, let me just say on the top three, I'm going to answer my question about which of the top three teams have the most likely to not make the playoffs. I'm going to say Indiana.
Ooh, and you're going against Kurt Cignetti. Okay.
No, I'm not going against Kurt Cignetti, but he did so much with so perceived little talent over the last couple of years. Just crazy successful coaching. And you're familiar with the blue chip ratio, which said to win a national championship, you have to have more than 50% blue chip recruits, meaning four or five star guys. Indiana had fewer than 10% blue chippers last year and won the national championship. I don't want to use the word fluke, but this was incredible coaching, scouting, use of the transfer portal, just lightning in a bottle, everything coming together. Now, if you, in a vacuum without seeing the past 2 years of Indiana, if you just saw the talent that they have this season and they went 8-4, you'd say he did a great coaching job, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's why I think, is there that possibility of them coming back down to earth and even still have a great coaching job and still not be a playoff team? And I think that starts at the quarterback position. Are they going to hit that for the third straight years? Are they going to come up with, you know, aces at the quarterback position?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair question. Obviously there's going to be a lot of their success depends on Josh Hoover and what he can do. And they've done it again where they're bringing in a lot of senior or older talent, not 23 and 24 year olds probably, but more, you know, juniors and seniors, guys that have been productive. The one reason I would push back on that is, even to me, even if you said Indiana had a down year this year, I don't see them losing more than two games, because their schedule is they play nobody in non-conference. They play Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska. They play Ohio State and Michigan in back-to-back games. They get Ohio State at home. They get Michigan on the road. So they could lose those two. Then Minnesota, USC, Washington, and Purdue. I don't see them losing to any of those teams. They get the only one of those last couple is on the road at Washington, which Washington's been pretty good at Husky Stadium over the past couple seasons. I do believe that if they could take a step back, as you mentioned, because you got to hit on that quarterback spot. But I think even if they take a big step back, they could still be 10-2. Like that, it's kind of like the Ohio State thing.
You're right with the schedule, and it's, you know, I think a big question is how much do you believe in USC and Washington, and I do kind of believe in Washington. And USC, boy, are they a variable, right? It could go a lot of different ways. And I know they get USC at home, but I could really see them, even if they beat USC, I could see them losing at Washington. I don't think it's crazy to think that they could lose at Nebraska, you know, especially if they're looking ahead to Ohio State and Michigan the two following weeks. And it's, you know, I'm looking at it as not me saying bet on them not making the playoffs.
Right.
It's more me saying of those three, I'm still, maybe it's as a Penn State or I've just seen Ohio State year after year. The talent is there every year. It really is. You know, what's a down year for Ohio State? You know, 11-1, 10-2. You know, it's crazy how good that team is. I think they have the best player in the country. And by the way, he's not the quarterback. And they have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. That's a great starting point. And remember, this is a team, every single year they bring in a top five recruiting class.
Yeah. I mean, they don't, what's it called? They don't rebuild, they reload. Yes. And so I don't disagree. To me, the potential for Ohio State to lose more games is there. Now, what I think is interesting, to your point, Jim, is if Indiana were to go 10-2, let's say they lose those middle two games to Ohio State and Michigan, or even if they beat Michigan and beat Washington, you're in the same scenario you were with Penn State. You're saying, where are your quality wins? You know, is it USC at home? How good is USC? You know, so if they were to lose two games, you're not looking at more than one quality win on that schedule. Most cases.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, it's the same thing. I don't know if their schedule is quite as bad as Penn State's, but it's close. Okay, it's getting
well.
There.
I agree. Like, if you look at it top to bottom, I'll
tell you what.
Teaser.
Make your point right after this break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. It's quarter number three of our show. Dustin, in segment two, before I rudely interrupted you, you were about to make a point. We were talking about Ohio State and their schedule. We compared it first to Penn State. Now I think you were comparing it to Indiana. Their schedule a lot closer to Penn State's than Ohio State's schedule.
Yeah, you had made the comment that you didn't know if Indiana's schedule was quite as bad as Penn State's, and I agree with you. However, if Indiana loses two games, I think you're in the same situation. Like, I think if you were to look at the number of quality wins, if both teams finished 10-2, you'd look at that and say, yeah, they basically played the same schedule. Maybe a few different teams here and there, but there are a lot of there's a lot of commonalities. Both teams play USC, both teams play Washington, both teams play Purdue, both teams play Rutgers.
Michigan, right?
Both have Michigan, yeah. So, and do they both have Minnesota? So, like, they're identical. The only difference is that Indiana plays Ohio State and Nebraska, and Penn State plays, they both have Northwestern. Penn State plays Wisconsin and who's the other one I'm missing there? Maryland.
Yeah. Well, and that's where playing Ohio State, that's, you know, if you're looking for a tiebreaker,
sure,
from 2-10-2 teams, but it's why I think, you know, Ohio State with three losses, and by the way, I think it would be legitimate if I were on the committee, I would vote that way also. I would take 9-3 Ohio State for quality wins. Unfortunately, what we're probably going to see is the choice between an SEC team and a Big Ten team, and it really would be apples and oranges, but, you know, the SEC and ESPN would tell you how much greater that Southeast Conference team schedule is, so you got to be prepared for that. All right, let's go back. I'm just fascinated by these type of lists, and for you know, what we're talking about is something came out with the odds of each Big Ten team making the playoffs, and Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State are at the very top, as where the odds are greater for them to make the playoffs than not. And Dustin, between segments, you brought up a good point. these odds that are being put out there. Now, we know things can very much change how in the fall, how teams play, but at least we don't have to worry about a spring portal completely turning a team upside down now. What we see now is pretty much what the teams we're going to see come fall.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that's huge. I've heard, now again, people know I cover Purdue closely, so but after the spring quote-unquote showcase, Barry Odom was basically, he was as gleeful as you will see a college football coach talking about having their team for next season. Because I think part of what happened during spring practices was you don't know who's going to be on your, and I don't think this is specific to Purdue, I think it's all the way around. A lot, you probably don't know who's going to be on your team. So how do you distribute the reps? Do you give it to the guy you think is going to be number one? Then he hops in the portal and then your number two and number three didn't get any reps. Did you have to distribute those equally? And then that way, you know, nobody really gets the reps that they need to be effective when the season comes around, or you feel like you have a lot more work to do in the off season. So I think that this is huge. And one of my biggest complaints has been, one of the reasons why I've my interest, I shouldn't say it, like the interest in off-season content has dwindled over the years, is because we don't know who's on your team until basically July, right? So, but the fact that you at least know now, we know, you know, once those guys signed, we know when you're done with spring, those are the guys that you have on your roster. It makes it a little bit more fun to talk about because at least you have an idea, and you get to see those guys in practice and get the insight from the coaching staff and all that good stuff. So I feel a little bit more confident talking about some of this stuff than I did even just a year ago when, you know, this time, Jim, that the portal was just opening up again and you were seeing guys who just completed spring practice try to find their next home in a span of a couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree completely. And one could argue, gee, is it more fair this way for everyone, specifically the players? And you could argue that, but I don't think you could argue about the game itself and the fans' perspective and interest. You know, it's hard to watch the team in the spring and then realize, hey, a week or two later, it's a completely different team because of players leaving. So I think from the fan perspective, it's much better this way. And, you know, I've talked quite a bit, and I know you and I will talk about this through the summer, you know, about what is wrong with college football. And I yell that that's what you got to figure out before you don't fix something until you've defined the problem. And that's one of the examples that I think it is a fix helping the fans and the fan interest in the game, which is very important. So if anything, the NCAA or whoever decided to make it just the one portal window in January, I think they got that one right, Dustin.
Yeah, I think that that was probably the biggest, most important change that they had. Like everybody else, for whatever reason, volleyball still has two windows. I don't know why that's the outlier, but men's and women's basketball has one window. Now football has one window. I don't know about the other sports. I'm sure that there's only one window. So it didn't even make sense for them to be, for there to have multiple windows for players to enter the transfer portal. So having this sort of continuity, and I do think also, Jim, it players have to be bought in a little bit earlier now, right? Like I made my commitment. This is where I'm going. You can't get halfway through spring practice and say, boy, I'm not getting the reps I want. I don't have the position I want. I'm going to enter the portal and see if I can go play somewhere else. You know, if I'm at Purdue and I don't think I'm going to play, well, maybe I go to Ball State and, you know, be the number one running back and then see if in a year after that I can get a big time offer from another school with more NIL money, whatever the case might be. Now you have to be bought in and those players aren't checked out. So I feel like you're getting more productivity out of your spring practices. And, you know, the classic James Franklin line, like, right, like every rep is so valuable. And I know people probably got annoyed with him saying that, but I do believe that there is truth in it when there's so much at stake every single week in college football.
Well, and I think if you look at, you know, your worst case scenario is you need a quarterback, okay? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes if you have one, you don't get a second one because that second one doesn't want to come there because you already have the first one. God forbid, when you're so dependent on a single quarterback,
yeah,
after spring practice, he leaves and all of a sudden, you know, oops, you know, what do we do now? Because right, we were down to one quarterback. And of course, that's the case with any other position. If you're thin somewhere, but it's like, well, at least I got that one stud tight end or left tackle, or, and if they choose to leave, all of a sudden, you know, you had built your team under a false premise. But anyway, let's get back to this list of the odds for each Big Ten team to make the playoffs. And we talked about Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State as the three teams where the odds were they're going to make the playoffs. I think you and I both agree. Now, the next, if you put them in tiers, the next tier is Michigan, USC, and Penn State. Looking at those three teams, looking at their schedules, I'll reverse the question where I ask you the top three. Which one do you think won't make the playoffs? This three, Michigan, USC, Penn State, you got to put your dollar on someone making it, Dustin. Which one would it be?
Yeah, I'm taking out USC from that mix right away. First of all, okay, so early in their Big Ten season, Oregon, Washington, now they get both of those at home, and then on the road at Penn State. They still have Ohio State and Indiana. That could be a 7-5 football team. Now, the thing is if they get to 10-2, I don't think there's any way they're going to get left out, because that means they're going to have some really good quality wins. But Lincoln Riley has proven like he can win at home in California. They stink on the road, and they have to go to Indiana. They have to go to Penn State. Those are the two toughest, obviously, but I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State at home. I don't think they're going to beat Oregon at home. So I think USC is out. Michigan intrigues me. But again, this is another – they've got Oklahoma in the second week of the season. That was a playoff team a year ago. They play Iowa at home. They do have most of their big games at home, Penn State, Indiana. They play at Oregon. They play at Ohio State. As good as Kyle Whittingham is, there was never a time at Utah where I felt like he lived up to the hype. Like, there were some times when everybody thought that they would make the playoff, and they I don't want to say they floundered, but they finished 9-3 or 10-2. And considering all the things they had to deal with in the offseason at Michigan, I feel like that's probably an 8-9 win football team. So, Jim, who does that leave left?
Process of elimination.
I don't feel great. I think you and me would probably both agree. If you gave Penn State, USC's, or Michigan's schedule, I wouldn't pick them in this situation. But because their schedule is so weak, and because I think Matt Campbell is a good coach, and he's bringing in his quarterback from Iowa State, Rocco Becht, and he's got some of those key players coming, it's not going to be like a Kurt Cignetti automatically. We're going to beat everybody 56-7. But if you can get, I don't think 11-1 is out of the realm of possibility here. So I think they could have an 11-1 season. Let me say this. I think year one under Matt Campbell could look similar to Kurt Cignetti year one. Maybe not the lopsided wins, but this is going to sound stupid. You win 11 games, but it's like, how good are you? And then they'll go up against like a Notre Dame or a, you know, Alabama or something and get beat 31-7 in the playoff. But wouldn't you take that in the first year of Matt Campbell?
Oh, without a doubt. I think Matt Campbell, athletic director Pat Kraft, I think the fan base looks at this and says, hey, this schedule is an opportunity. Okay. And, you know, if they get to 10-2 and don't make the playoffs, this gives Penn State fans that ability to complain about things, which they will. And sure. But you could see where they could play a schedule where they don't play a top 10 team. Yeah. You know, Michigan, there's no guarantee they're going to be a top 10 team. And as you pointed out, they've got a schedule that's pretty tough. So you know what? We're not finished with this conversation, Dustin. We got one more quarter to go. We're going to pick it up right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. We're talking about the Big Ten teams and each one of them, their odds of getting to the playoff at the top, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. I don't think there's any argument that those are the three best teams. We're talking about the next tier, Michigan, USC, Penn State. I asked you which of the three you thought most likely to make the playoffs. And we are in agreement, it's Penn State. Not that they're better than those two teams, but they just got the schedule that gives them that possibility. And if you look at, you know, the actual schedules that teams have, I hadn't looked at this really closely, but Michigan, I forgot that they had Oklahoma in the out-of-conference schedule, but we place those three top teams, Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State, out there. Michigan plays all three of them. Penn State plays none of the three. Right there is the differentiator. So that's the way I look at it. You then have, you know, we talked about those three teams being in the next tier. I suppose if you want to, Washington and Iowa are the next two teams. You see either one of them with a shot at making the playoff?
No. I think Iowa's going to be Iowa, and that's I don't want to say that's a negative, but I think that that's like I think they'll
they're
probably
gonna go 8-4.
I was going to say they'll win probably 8 or 9 games, and they'll have a good season, and they'll probably pull off an upset, and they'll probably lose a game they're not supposed to. But you look at like those first 3 weeks for them in Big Ten play, I should say, are brutal. They will so they'll be 3-0. They'll beat Northern Illinois. Iowa State's completely I don't know about completely, but they're rebuilding. UNI. Then they play at Michigan, Ohio State, and at Washington. Now I have followed the Big Ten long enough to say that I believe that Iowa's not going to go 0-3 in that stretch. They'll probably win one. Hell, they might win two. But then, you know, you've got a couple rivalry. Like, if they can get through that first portion of the schedule, they've got Minnesota, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Purdue, Illinois, and Nebraska. And by the way, Jim, I don't know who they had to talk to about getting this home away, home away, home away, home away schedule, but that lines up pretty nicely too. So I just don't think they're going to make it through that three-game stretch, and then I think they'd probably lose one of those games to, like, Minnesota or Northwestern or Illinois or Nebraska at the end of the season. So I think they'll be 8-4, 9-3, have a really good season, but I don't think they're quite playoff material.
No, I don't either. Washington, I think, can be really scary, especially at home. They also have Indiana and Oregon is how they finish the season. How about that for a back-to-back ending? They also have Penn State, USC, and Iowa on their schedule. If they go 10-2 or 9-3, they've certainly earned it. All right. In the time we have left, Dustin, again, me with my list. I sent you one.
Wait. I want to make one comment about these odds. The one team that I think, if you were to say, just here's $100. Make a random bet and place it on this team. I would not. I'm very interested in Michigan State. Okay. The reason I say that is they just hired Pat Fitzgerald, and I don't know which Pat Fitzgerald we're going to get, whether it was the one who went 2-10 or the one who won two Big Ten West titles in three seasons. And the reason I also say this is because, again, when you look at the schedule, now they do play Notre Dame in non-conference, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Illinois, Northwestern, UCLA. They end with Rutgers. They do have a three-game stretch where they play Michigan, Washington, and Oregon. Outside of that three-game stretch, I'm not saying they'd win all those other Big Ten games, but there's not one game on there that really scares you. So if you were to say, here's just $100 free dollars, make the best, like make a bet that will make you the most money, I think I would just go randomly and put it on Michigan State and hope that Pat Fitzgerald used some of that old Fitz magic he had at Northwestern and somehow got to 10 wins and put them in playoff consideration. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be the one thing that's the one team that I would say may surprise some folks. Now, I've done this with Rutgers and Illinois in the past and they botched everything. So take my word with a grain of salt, but that's the only reason I stopped you, because Michigan State does interest me this year.
Well, that's the interesting thing though, Dustin, when you talk about this, the Big Ten has a very distinct top tier to it. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes now, we put in a very distinct second tier in Michigan, USC, Penn State. But that next tier of, and I'm going to list them in order, Washington, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, UCLA, Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, those are all teams who any one of them could qualify as the best of the rest.
Yeah.
A year ago, we thought that team would be Illinois. It's fascinating here how Wisconsin gets better odds than Illinois does, than Nebraska does, than Minnesota does. And I'm not sure Wisconsin has earned that right.
No, not the way they've been playing the past couple seasons. Like, they have done nothing under Luke Fickell. I think they've gone to one bowl game in 3 years. So, they look worse. Now, they've dealt with some quarterback injuries and stuff, but I looked at that too, and I was like, who is betting money on Wisconsin? In my opinion, they have zero chance. And I did not even look at their schedule. I'll bring it up again really quick here. They opened the season with Notre Dame, Penn State. I mean, I guess they do have a favorable schedule. Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Yep. It's like night and day from the brutality of the schedule they had last year. So I could see a scenario where they got to eight. I still don't think they're a playoff team, but I could see them getting to eight wins.
Do you know what's interesting? And I sent you this picture, okay? Take a good close look at Wisconsin and look at the numbers, okay? And they do it. It's based on $100 bet. So, for example, at the very top, Indiana is -330 to make the playoffs. That means you have to bet $330 to make $100.
Yep.
For them not to make the playoffs, you bet $100 and you get $250. Take a look at the numbers on Wisconsin, okay? Take a good hard look. And now take a good hard look at the numbers for Illinois. What do you see, Dustin?
It's essentially the same, but they have worse odds?
Yeah.
They have worse odds to make it than Illinois, yeah.
So if their numbers are accurate, Illinois should be ahead of Wisconsin.
Yes. Yep.
And again, it's close. yeah. And it wasn't until we had this discussion that I happened to notice that. So it's still having Wisconsin where they do. I'm not sold on it. And plus it's any ranking anymore where they don't have Wisconsin and Nebraska side by side, I wonder about, you know, the new coaches coming in at the same time. But, you know, Michigan State, that was an interesting one that you put out there, again, based on the schedule. Forgetting the schedule, though, for a second, you know, let's get past Iowa, you know, starting with Wisconsin, Illinois, UCLA, Nebraska. Are there any teams in there that you think might surprise us, be better? Who is the best of the rest?
I legitimately don't know. This is, it's such a toss up. You want to say, I mean, I don't know. You want to say, I want to say Nebraska could be better, but I feel like I've been saying that for 3 years now. Like every year it feels like they should be, I don't want to say contender, but they should be better than they are. And they just haven't been. But see, here's the thing to me too. Yeah. I really feel like Illinois is at that point. It just is like, I think there's going to be a little bit of buyer's remorse because so many people bought into Illinois a season ago, but there were years where Illinois was picked to finish pretty low and Brett Bielema had them at 8-5 or 8-3. I can't do math today, Jim. 8-4, 9-3.
It was my understanding that do no math.
Math, yes. 8-4, 9-3. So I think if you gun to the head, I think I'd have to go with Illinois just because I trust Brett Bielema probably than any other coach that's in that mix.
Well, when we're talking best of the rest, and you know, candidly, to be fair, it's hard for us to really know the rosters of each of these teams. Yeah. And I think a lot of those teams, the rosters are similar. I look at two things, you know, who's at quarterback and who's coaching. And mm-hmm. I think both Bielema and PJ Fleck actually have proven themselves a bit. They're not necessarily going to come out, you know, 10-2, 11-1, but you do expect 8 or 9 wins from them because they're well-coached teams.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I put Illinois there. I think they just landed on a dud and they played some pretty good teams. Like they had USC, they had Ohio State, they had Indiana, Oregon was 2 years ago, but they had some good teams. Like, and that's why I look at Iowa and I think, could they make the playoff? I think they could, but it's just been, the history tells you that they're going to get to 8 wins, maybe 9, but not really have those 1 or 2 signature wins that you need to get to 10 or 11 wins and then get into the playoff picture. So there's a lot of really good high quality coaches, a lot of coaches in the Big Ten that make the most out of what they have. The one guy I PJ Fleck. I mean, Minnesota's average. They're good. They can cause some problems. But again, outside of that 2019 season, it's just not, they haven't been anything special.
Well, they're not going to make the playoffs. And that's the thing with those teams that we mentioned, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota. I think they're good. They have a decently high floor. But they have a low ceiling.
Yep, I would agree with that.
You can't see them break through. All right, Dustin, I had mentioned we were going to talk about quarterbacks. We'll save that topic for another week. We had a lot of fun today with these playoff odds. Dustin, thank you so much for being here. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the next edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.